Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 108 to finish at 25,415. S&P 500 up 13 at 2,816. NASDAQ Composite up 41 at 7,671. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 17 at 1,670. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 1 basis point at 2.96%. Oil down $1.70 at $68.43 per barrel. And gold up $2.40 at $12.24.40 per ounce. Well, today was the last trading day of July, and the major averages posted solid monthly gains. The Dow up 4.7% and the S&P 500 up 3.6%, their biggest monthly gains since January. The NASDAQ, meanwhile, climbed more than 2% in July and notched its fourth straight monthly gain. Now, about 60% of the S&P 500 companies have released quarterly results, with 82% of those companies posting better-than-expected earnings. The corporate earnings season continued today, with Dow Components, Procter & Gamble, and Pfizer reporting better-than-expected earnings, shares of P&G up 0.9%, Pfizer's stock gained 3.5%. So after a few days of sharp declines, especially in the tech sector, the bargain hunters stepped in to fill the void today. Now, since the financial crisis, the NASDAQ has posted three straight losses of 1% or more on five occasions. They did it this past week. Following those drops, the NASDAQ has risen more than 5% over the next month. We might very well see another bounce tomorrow, thanks to Apple. After the closing bell, Apple posted a solid earnings report. Apple beat sales estimates in part by selling fewer but pricier iPhones. The company sold 41.3 million units, below expectations of 41.8 million units, but the average iPhone selling price hit $724, beating analyst expectations of $694. Apple posted third-quarter revenue of $53.3 billion and profits of $2.34 per share. That compares with analyst estimates of $52.3 billion and $2.18 per share. Earnings per share grew by 40% year-over-year. Revenue grew by 17% year-over-year. Now, arguably, the most useful number in Apple's fiscal third-quarter report was its September quarter outlook of $60 to $62 billion in revenue, which will include early sales of soon-to-be-announced iPhone models, beating the $59.6 billion that analysts had expected. Apple shares up 3.7% in after-hours trade. Apple has so far avoided the fallout of an ongoing trade war with China, but with each country ratcheting up tariffs, Apple's deep roots in China could start to feel the effects. Much of Apple's supply chain is in China, and China accounts for the company's second-largest source of revenue. And just as a point of comparison, Samsung just released its second quarter report. The South Korean electronics conglomerate missed the mark on Galaxy S9 sales targets. The smartphone, which was released at the end of last quarter, accounts for a major chunk of Samsung's 4% year-on-year drop in revenue. Facebook finally did something. In a series of briefings on Capitol Hill this week and a public post today, Facebook told lawmakers that it had detected and removed 32 pages and accounts connected to the influence campaign on Facebook and Instagram as part of its investigation into election interference. it publicly said it had been unable to tie the accounts to Russia, whose internet research agency was at the center of an indictment earlier this year for interfering in the 2016 election. But company officials told Capitol Hill that Russia was possibly involved. Facebook said that the accounts, 8 Facebook pages, 17 Facebook profiles, and 7 Instagram accounts, were created between March 2017 and May 2018 and first discovered 2 weeks ago. Now, those numbers may sound small, but their influence has been widespread. More than 290,000 accounts followed at least one of the suspect pages. Facebook's head of cybersecurity police said that the activity bore some similarities to that of the Internet Research Agency, but that the actors had better disguised their efforts, using VPNs, internet phone services, and third parties to purchase ads for them. After being caught flat-footed by the Russian Internet Research Agency's efforts to use social media to sow division ahead of the 2016 presidential election, Facebook is trying to avoid a repeat disaster in 2018. The company has expanded its security team, hiring counterterrorism experts and recruiting workers with government security clearances, and all it took was a $120 billion hit to market cap to get their attention. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20-City Home Price Index rose 6.5% in May from a year earlier. Now, that's down slightly from April, but it's still more than double the increase workers were seeing in their paychecks. Mortgage rates have also increased, pushing up monthly cost for home buyers even further. Sales of existing homes have fallen for 3 straight months after peaking in November. Pending home sales have also declined over the past year. Still, home prices in some of the hottest real estate markets continue to move substantially higher. Prices up 13.6% in Seattle from a year ago, 12.6% in Las Vegas, 10.9% in San Francisco. In Phoenix, existing home prices increased 1.1% in the 3-month period ending in May compared to the April report, and prices jumped 7.3% for the past 12 months. A decade after the housing bust, home construction per household remains near the lowest level in 60 years of record keeping. That according to a new report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. That's a big reason why U.S. home prices are rising much faster than incomes and why the home ownership rate remains stuck a full percentage point below the 50-year average. The share of workers in the sector who are 24 years old or younger has declined in 48 states since the last housing boom in 2005. Nationally, the share of young construction workers declined 30% from 2005 through 2016. The U.S. had 11.7 million construction workers in 2005, but that peak fell to 10.8 million by 2010, even as the economy and housing market recovered. The number of workers in construction continued to fall, hitting 10.2 million in 2016. Declining numbers of immigrant construction workers have also sapped builders of unskilled labor. States hit hardest by the housing bust saw on average the greatest decrease in the share of young construction workers between 2005 and 2010. States where cost of living are high have the worst overall shortages of construction workers. The Consumer Confidence Index rose to 127.4 in July from a revised 127.1 the prior month, although just below the recent peak of 130, still one of the highest readings in some 18 years. The Present Situation Index, that's a measure of how the economy is doing right now. That rose to 165.9 from 161.7. The expectations index, that looks 6 months into the future, declined to 101.7 from 104. So the economy looks good now, but it'll probably get worse. The PCE index, that's the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, rose 0.1% in June. So did the core rate. The rate of inflation over the past 12 months flatlined at 2.2% in June. Although that matches a six-year high, inflation appears to have crested, at least temporarily, after a prolonged upturn. Similarly, the yearly change in the core rate was unchanged at 1.9%. Now, the core rate strips out food and gas to measure inflation for people who don't travel or eat. Consumer spending rose a fairly solid 0.4% in June. Americans spent more at restaurants and hotels as summer got underway. Auto dealers also posted strong sales. The increase in spending was supported by rising incomes. Even though spending rose sharply in the spring and early summer, the U.S. savings rate held steady at 6.8%. Pandora Media shares jumped more than 9% during extended hours trading after a smaller-than-expected loss for its second-quarter earnings. Cheesecake Factory's stock fell more than 9% in after-hours trading following top and bottom-line misses for its second-quarter results. And at least 140 people now claim they got sick after eating at a Chipotle restaurant in Powell, Ohio, over the past several days. The restaurant was closed Monday, still closed today. That's bad news. Today is also National Avocado Day, which Chipotle celebrated by offering a free guacamole deal. Free guacamole with any online or in-app purchase of any entree today. However, the app wasn't working for some, and online users were met with the disappointing technical difficulties notification. Chipotle shares down 8%. Dow Industrials up 108 to finish at 25,415. S&P 500 up 13 at 2,816. NASDAQ Composite up 41 at 7671. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.